Are you looking for a better life? A life with less stress, good health, and success? Then let me introduce you to Lisa Giroux. Lisa is a wellness coach who works with individuals like you who are seeking a different path to transform their life. Lisa will use simple strategies so that you can access your personal success. She is a master teacher with over 2 decades of experience and will share with you ancient wisdom that you can use in your modern life. Reiki, relaxation, meditation, and nourishment of your body, mind, and your soul. To begin your new path, visit lisagiroux.com. G-I-R-O-U-X. lisagiroux.com. Feel better, live better. lisagiroux.com.
All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for being here today on the Cosmic Radio Show. I am Lisa Giroux. And we are talking about, so many wonderful things as we continue to effortlessly expand in our daily awareness practice, recognizing that there's so much more to this life than just what we see. And I'm suffering a little bit with a little cold this week, so if I sound a bit throaty, that's because of that. But I still wanted to do the show today with Brian King, who is a resilience and mindfulness coach. And Brian shares he has a very interesting story. And we're going to get right to the interview with Brian today. And I want to just let you know that this is going to be some wonderful information, and welcome Brian R. King. Thanks for being here today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Lisa, for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Me too, and that is kind of just what we're going to have, a nice conversation, and let's kind of start with how you got to where you are today.
Well, I'll give you the highlights. I grew up with undiagnosed ADHD and dyslexia. School was very difficult for me, even through college. I was gifted with stage 3 testicular cancer as my high school graduation present. Went through chemotherapy and all that fun stuff. I have 3 boys, all of whom have Asperger's, which is a form of autism, and they also have ADHD. And a couple years ago, I was diagnosed with a debilitating connective tissue disorder, which is genetic. There's no cure for it. And it's gradually making my joints weaker. So joints are beginning to pop out of place doing simple activities. You know, the other day I had a hard time holding a sandwich for like more than 30 seconds because my hand would become so sore I had to put it down. So those are the various, what I refer to as teachers throughout my life, that taught me perseverance, taught me resilience, because each of those teachers had one simple question for me. How bad do you want it, Bri? How bad do you want it? Are you going to be resourceful? Are you going to look for opportunities? Or are you going to quit? And I discovered mindfulness when I was going through cancer, just to help me manage the emotions that I was going through, rage, anger, fear, all that stuff. And it's been a tremendous journey in discovering just how much beauty there is in life, even on those painful days. So that's in a nutshell.
Wow, that's amazing, Brian. And I can hear in your voice that you have a sound that is very, very encouraging, and you sound so happy while you're describing these things. And so often people get so, they switch into the suffering through their pain. Why do you think that your journey, your teachers, are occurring in this form?
Well, I did spend plenty of time in that suffering space, you know, doing the woe is me and feeling like a victim. And then I realized or made a declaration one day that I am not going to live the rest of my life being miserable, that this can't be as good as it gets. So I began researching different perspectives. You know, I read Christian literature and, you know, not only the Bible, but things written by Christian authors. I read Taoism and modern self-help, but it was really the Buddhist thinking that really hit home with me. Because of all the different challenges I have, the pain comes, the pain goes. The fatigue comes, the fatigue goes. Very much like your breath. You inhale, you exhale. And the disciplines and strategies brought through Buddhism, through mindfulness, was really in alignment with what I needed to be able to do in order to embrace this as just a fact of my little pocket of the human experience. You know, we all suffer in our own way. That's undeniable. Some people suffer because they're in a poor marriage. They don't like their job. My suffering, my teacher is my physical ailment, or maybe sometimes I'll come down with a head cold or one of my boys will have a crisis, but it comes and it goes. So the practice of meditation, the practice of being able to just allow things to move as they do, has been very, very liberating. And it began with that decision that the current state of things in my life was absolutely unacceptable. I refused to suffer at that level anymore, and I wanted some freedom from it. So I went in relentless pursuit of what disciplines would allow me to do that, and I came across mindfulness.
Oh, I love it. I love that. And the fact that you made the declaration, I think that that is a turning point for moving into our daily practice, however you language it. Do you still have to make a daily declaration at times?
Not necessarily daily, but I do find myself, as all humans do, kind of slipping. You know, I'll get caught up in something. I'll become distracted. I'll find myself being frustrated. I'll find myself being a little sadder than usual. And not that these things are wrong, because these things are flags that pop up saying, hey, Brian, you're off course. And then I'll check in and ask myself, what's this about? What am I trying to hang on to that's resulting in this frustration or sadness? What am I trying to control? And then once I identify what it is, then I make the declaration again and say, okay, but this isn't the decision you made. The decision you made isn't try to control things and have everything your own way. The decision isn't looking at the moment as not good enough, therefore you're sad. The declaration is that I'm going to practice acceptance of the flow of life, and I'm going to find joy in the natural unfolding of things. That's the promise I made. And once I get more in touch with that, I meditate on that, get grounded in it again. The frustration, the sadness then evaporates.
Oh, I love that. That's beautifully put. To become that witness to, you know, our hell as well as while we're moving towards heaven is really what our daily practice is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that we had this conversation at some other point about the lotus. You know, the lotus blossom emerges from the mud and then breaks through the surface of the water in order to find the light. And that is something that people really don't get. It's a fundamental misunderstanding about how things work, is that you're either happy or you're sad. They're not even opposite sides of the same coin. They're two aspects of the very same thing. And they come in and they go. I mean, being able to be mindful doesn't mean that you abolish anger or sadness or fear. What it means is that you're much more in touch with it and you're much more able to turn it into something more useful.
Oh, I love that. And that...
Yeah.
All of our emotions deserve our awareness and our non-attachment and our non-judgment. And through
If you look at the ocean, you know, and I wrote something to my email list this morning. There's different ways the water behaves. It can be a wave. The wave can be big and small. It can come in smoothly or it can crash. You can see a little whirlpool spinning around. There's so many different behaviors of water, but each time it does that, just because you call it something else, oh, that's a wave, that's a whirlpool, it's still the ocean. So emotion is just this wonderful energy that behaves in different ways. It's fear, it's anger, it's sadness, but it's all emotion. you can't get rid of one aspect of it and still appreciate the others. You know, you need to get in touch with all of its different flavors, all of its different behaviors, and realize that it's all part of your experience.
I love that. The flavors and the behaviors of our emotions, energy and motion, that is really why we're here in this plane, is to experience each of these emotions. And when we get to the higher perspective about our anger, our fear, our sadness, our bliss, and our joy, they really work in concert together. And that's part of this amazing human experience, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. Just like the sunrise and the sunset, sometimes there's some little bit of clouds and sometimes there's a lot of clouds, but they're all worthy of gratitude because that's the energy of your life.
Ooh, let's talk about gratitude. That's one of my favorite topics, the attitude of gratitude. How does that work for
you? Where would
you
like to begin with that? Well, what happens, the learning to see everything as my teacher, the fact that realizing that the purpose of our lives in general is to grow, to refine ourselves, and every time something challenges you, requiring you to stretch, it's strengthening some kind of muscle, your psychological, your emotional, and sometimes your physical. And allowing yourself to be stretched, say, thank you for that opportunity to grow. Thank you for trusting me with this lesson. There are so many opportunities to be thankful. And a lot of them, but one way, an exercise I give to some of my clients, is I ask them, what did you take for granted today? And then I encourage them to go back and say thank you for those things. Because if you're grateful and fully enjoy things while you have them, there'll be a lot less grief when they leave, which they will. All things do. There'll be a lot less grief because you appreciated it. You had that moment where you allowed it to fill you up, so it's done its work. Now it can go on.
Yes, and that releasing that, the appreciation that we receive, that we give, allows us to then fully experience that thing, that temporary thing, this too shall pass. And I like how you describe that so that you don't grieve it so much. You hear it all the time, you know, oh, I should have called him, I should have visited, I should have done this or that, and now they're gone. And I think that is such a big block for people. And in moving through their grief process, every day is an opportunity to get in touch with that frequency and to love it to the light and then release it. People, places, experiences, situations, once we appreciate it, it's always ours.
Absolutely. And what's beautiful about the whole coming and going and really embracing that is you begin to learn that everything that comes your way has a seed of joy in it. You know, one of the reasons that people really hang on to things is they believe that only certain things will result in happiness. You know, I have to have this, and if this leaves, I won't be happy. Well, take a look around you. There's other stuff. There's much more. So when something comes in and you enjoy it and you let it go, guess what? Something else just came in, and you can find joy there too. And when you realize there's joy absolutely everywhere, through gratitude, through the experience that you can have by being connected with things, there is no opportunity for living in a doldrum, feeling like you've lost something, and there's absolutely no opportunity for boredom. Because there's always something joyful to pay attention to.
Oh, absolutely. And that releasing that creates that vacuum that the universe must fill. And if we are tipping the scales towards our joyful, blissful existence, it will be something joyful and blissful. If we're clinging desperately and we can't release, then we get that backup of clutter. the universe wants to have clean, clear spaces in which to fill us up with the most amazing thing. But we have to keep it in motion, energy in motion. We have to keep everything moving and flowing so that we can get to the next amazing situation, experience, person, prosperity,
yeah,
good health, all of those things.
Fortunately, it's always flowing. It's a matter of, do we want to be a conduit or do we want to be a rock that we're just sitting there in the river and things flow around us instead of flowing through us? That's a big decision to make.
That's a good everyday choice. I like that analogy. That's beautiful,
mm-hmm.
Brian. Wonderful. So when you, as you're working your daily practice, as I like to call it, and you're working with clients now, you're sharing this information with people. You're doing the ultimate, what our ultimate goal is, to give of yourself for the benefit of others. Let's talk about your work and how that fills you up and sustains you.
Well, I work primarily with professionals, parents, adults that are sick of the overwhelm. They're sick of being controlled by their tasks list and always being a human doing. And they've lost kind of a sense of, you know, why am I doing this? You know, why am I here? What is my life all about? And they want to feel much more grounded, much more focused. They want to feel calm instead of, you know, totally overwhelmed. And they want to learn how to be present, you know, how to truly smell the roses, be present with another human being so they can connect much more authentically. And that's what I teach people how to do these days. And it's wonderful when you see people's confidence increasing, when you see them being more happier, when you see their relationships improve, simply because they refined how they pay attention to this life. And it's probably the most rewarding work I've ever done.
Oh, that's great. That's so true, and it is a condition in this culture because we have so many things. We have so many what I call distractions. We don't have to do that work that used to be natural, making that connection to present time consciousness, awake and aware, being here now. And I think that is kind of one of the banes of the society. Does that ring true to you?
Absolutely. I mean, and one of the bigger difficulties with our consumer culture is that the marketers are teaching us that the next best thing is what will make us happy. And there's so much of that. Our culture trains us to think it's not good enough unless I have the newest iPhone. My life isn't good enough unless I'm listening to the latest band or keeping up with the Kardashians or whatever other kind of nonsense is out there. And nobody in marketing is going to tell you, your life is great just right now. Your life is perfect. You just need to learn how to see it. Wipe away all of the grump and grime from the lens.
Yes. And that, those daily distractions that are voracious appetite to consume, it's we're seeing that in as a culture, we're seeing it everywhere. And younger and younger, you know, it used to be, you know, as adults we were supposed to get out there and, you know, do certain things in a certain order. Of course, I bucked that system, but many people. And it saddens me when I see so many young people that they can't even connect to the people that they're sitting around the table with, that these devices are hypnotizing us in a way that is not bringing about that deep, visceral, spiritual connection that is so important, that longing that we naturally used to create because we would go out in Mother Nature and we would have to look and see and find for ourselves how to thrive, and to glean that wisdom that already is. We have everything. We are encapsulated beings of just infinite amounts of wisdom and potential and possibility. And it's so sad to see.
Yeah.
And the work that you do, I celebrate you for that. The work that we're doing.
And that's one thing that I'm hoping to bring to the digital space. You know, I'm excited about the new technology. But again, it far too often becomes task-driven. You know, I have to wish my friends a happy birthday. I have to like their posts. I have to share their posts. And there's not a lot of time where people actually sit there to just reflect and introspect and ask themselves, what value can I add to this space? As opposed to, let me tell the world what I am upset about today and hope that they pour on the sympathy. And then there are some people that are just about their drama, some people about their anger about who is going to be the nominee for what party. And it just becomes this opportunity to be angry together. And people aren't really looking for opportunities to open a door for a greater connection, greater understanding. And I'm very grateful for the fact that I have learned how to make the digital space intimate, so that when people interact with me on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, they feel like they're talking to a friend. They feel safe. They can share what it is they want to and they won't be criticized. And I don't see that as often as I would like to in the digital space. You know, too much of it is about, well, I disagree and this is wrong and this is right and you know, you haven't done your research or whatever other criticism. You know, I want to make
right.
it a place where people can just come together and be seen and be respected. So there is hope for the digital space, you know, to move it away from that transactional, mindless, me type of environment and become something much more about community and bringing people together in a healthy way.
Absolutely. It can certainly be a tool of use. I'm learning to use it myself for that way. I want it to be a force for good because it is this expanding, ever-expanding frequency. And yes.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes. And our work that we do in helping people remember who they are, remember why they're here, to step away from that, to become autonomous, it's so people find it so enticing to get into the gripe and the grind, and I do believe that there's a calculated process occurring right now, the pokers and the prodders, and, you know, celebrating the useful idiocy, God bless, on all levels, of these people who are less than enlightened in this lifetime. And so, yes, to continue to do the work that we do and celebrate that the light that still exists and needs to be shown in a greater way is part of the work that we're celebrating here today. I love that. Tell me about your promotion. What are you working on? What's going on? What do you want to share with people? How can you contact?
Well, I would like to offer your listeners a free download copy of a recent workshop that I held. It's called Everyday Mindfulness, Strategies for a Focused and Fulfilled Life. And it's all of those real practical ways to just be present in your life and find those joy in the little moments. And the way they can get this is by going to my website, BrianRaymondKing.com/everyday. You go to that link and you can download this and listen to all 90 minutes. And after you've listened, feel free to email me and ask me some questions or tell me what you thought about it.
Oh, that sounds great. I love that. I'm going to do that myself, too. I posted that on the Osprey Energetics page. The link there, and we'll definitely make sure that I think I posted it in a couple of the groups that we're in, too. Everybody can get that through there. Why do you think that this work is now, it's really kind of becoming mainstream, and I think that's amazing and wonderful. Looking forward, what is the desire for your practice or your people that you're working with?
Well, my overall mission in life is to help move people from suffering and into love. And one thing that has been true of our society in the past 15, 20 years or so is war is becoming far too acceptable as a means to solving problems. And people have got to learn how to live in other places than fear and anger. So one of the things that I'm really hoping to put out there is, what is the road to that, from that suffering, that fear, that anger that really people are feeding on, and what is the road to love? So that we can really discover that we are all one big family, and it's prejudice, racism, biases, that's what separates us. Nothing else. It's not the color of our skin. It's not our religion. It's those fear-based prejudices that separate us. And we have to unlearn that nonsense. And, man, do we need to elect leaders that understand love and not fear.
Yes, I like to wage peace. And I'm seeking ways to make peace profitable, because I believe that the only way we get to peace on earth is through peace of mind. And so our mission...
Absolutely.
That our missions together, may it grow exponentially and into infinity from here on out, is to give that power back to the individual, though. We have so segregated ourselves by labeling, shaming, blaming, pointing, and instead of pointing to ourselves and say, my mission today is to have peace in my mind, peace in my heart, peace in my hearth, peace in my home, peace in my town at every cost, and it is up to us to, as teachers, to get that message out. Yay.
And that's what Gandhi meant when he said, be the change you want to see in the world. If you want more peace, you must become peaceful. Holding up a picket sign and saying, you guys need to be more responsible. You guys need to stop fighting war. Okay, so you're standing there with your anger, and you're telling me to stop being warlike. Now, to me, that just doesn't resonate. Model peace. Put it out there. Awesome. Find opportunities to be peaceful. It's got to start with that. Show people how it's done. Somebody needs to go first. If enough people rally around that mission and practice peace, that's how the ripple effect begins. Not by using anger to tell other people to stop being aggressive. That doesn't help.
Absolutely. That is the idiocy that is so incongruent with any peaceful mission. And we have to start, plant the seeds with ourselves, as you say, and to no longer allow those frequencies of violence into the lexicon. We are consumed by it, young people especially. You know, when you and I were coming up, and I'm older than you are, you know, we used to stand and maybe play a game. I was never a gamer, so, I was back when it was Pong, right? It was
you and me both.
There was a distance. Now you are the shooter. Now you are the murderer, the rapist, whatever that is. And these acceptable, I would say not in my home. We chose not to have children because, for many reasons, but because of the condition of the world. And so those who are raising children, I think it's so important. The modeling starts at home. What are you allowing into your home? What are your children watching? What are they learning? What are they picking up? And that frequency that is just tormenting and twisting the innocence We no longer allow children their innocence. Children should be allowed to be innocent until they reach adulthood. And we have done everything in our power to break them down to by letting them witness, not only witness, but I believe through these, you know, these modern age technologies, that they become then these things. And it's very hard to undo that once you've witnessed that, especially as a young person with no life experience. And so that's where, you know, we've got to get it into the homes and into our own intimate spaces that this is not allowable. This is contributing to the collective, and the collective is at a point now to where it is erupting. And it'll just take one person and from the collective that that speaks to, and then you have these outrageous responses to just what has become acceptable. So we want to breathe our love and light, Brian, you and I, here and now, and all who are listening, whenever you are listening, into those places and those spaces where violence is acceptable. And we switch it to peace is acceptable, love is acceptable, freedom is acceptable, and may that expand exponentially from here on out. How does that feel?
That's spot on. And that's one of the beautiful things about platforms like Facebook and so on, is that no one can give us or deny us permission to be that. You know, we can show up peacefully. We don't have to have our own reality show. We don't have to do something that lands us on the nightly news. We can just simply show up and start sharing who we are and sharing our message. And people that resonates with will be attracted to us. And that becomes a wonderful opportunity to begin creating that change that the world so desperately needs.
Right, to allow that to be the possibility. And from the possibility, mm-hmm. it has the potential. And the potential is the action steps. And like you said, I mean, every time we offer kindness, letting someone, you know, smiling at a person on the street, one of your fellow travelers that you come in contact with today needs your love and your attention, please look at each other and smile. Hold the door. Offer kindness. Let someone ahead of you in traffic. Let someone ahead of you in the grocery stores. Those are the things, those kindnesses, those civilized kindnesses that will overshadow the fact that bad behavior has become the common denominator.
Yeah, one thing that I make a point of doing.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
One thing I make a point of doing, and sometimes I forget it, is I refer to everybody as brother and sister.
I like that.
So even if I get cut off in traffic, I'm going to say, hey, brother, man, what the heck you doing? Yeah, so I want to feel a connection with that person as opposed to this selfish jerk and how can that person and turn them into this object where I make a lot of assumptions about who they are and what motivates them. Instead, keep it simple. Be careful, brother. Hey, slow down, brother.
Absolutely.
Because I want to make sure that I extend some caring towards that person so that I come from that place as much as possible.
Absolutely. I'm similar in that. I like to give the peace sign, the real peace sign, not the single inverted peace sign that maybe I used to give in the 80s, but to offer them that because I say, I'm wishing you well. I say, friend, I go after Innes Cosby. You say, hello, friend. But I say, peace to you, friend. Hello, friend. And send that vibrancy out, that vibration out, that frequency out. This is frequency healing, people. This is how we do this. This is the most important thing that we can do because how we are perceiving, how we are receiving, and how we are delivering our frequency and our energy back out. Because remember, we are receivers and transmitters of energy every moment that we are breathing. And if we are sending it out there in a loving, light way, people are benefiting. This is how all benefit. And it takes each of us to assume that responsibility. And if we're angry and bitter and still in our drama, then it takes a coach. It takes a mentor. It takes someone to help us to get to that place of peace of mind and well-being, the still point within, the mindfulness practice, by reading, studying, analyzing, and letting go of our sad tale of woe and using it, like Brian does so beautifully, as our teacher.
That's it, right there.
That is.
And once, another thing that I recommend to people is always have a teacher and always be a teacher so that you are a conduit for wisdom all the time. And it's important to remain a student because it reminds you, you don't know everything. You're not here to know everything. You're here to continually discover and learn and maintain that sense of wonder. And then you can model that for anybody who's looking to you for instruction.
Mm.
It's just a wonderful experience to keep moving back and forth.
It really is. Always the teacher, always the student, perpetually. And that
mm-hmm.
is also part of that surrender practice. If I think I know everything, if we're not creating, we're dying. If we're not receiving, then we are not able to give. And in giving, then we continue that cycle, receiving. The wisdom comes in, the wisdom goes out. Very, very powerful. That is good. That
mm-hmm.
is good. Nice. Well,
and
Brian,
you're also
what
a lot less. I was going to say, you're also a lot less attached to it. Because you
yes.
get wisdom from somebody else and you pass it on and you realize this is flowing through me like the river. It's not something I have to own or hang on to. And it's much more fun to say, you know, oh, this tastes beautiful. You know, this tastes great. Here, taste this, you know? And that's kind of how it is. It's a very sharing kind of way of being.
Yes, that sharing. Yes, I love that. I love that. And I think so much, especially as coaches when we're new, or as mentors when we're new, we're so excited about the information that's coming. That as my friend Batista says, information that falls, you know, when we're giving this information, if it's not requested, it falls on deaf ears. So we want to make sure that we are asking that very, very important question of, are you ready for something new? Are you ready to shift your life? I think as coaches and mentors, that's what we do. We get people to ask those questions so that they can get to the point of being receptive. And the other ones we wish well. Maybe it's not their time right now to make the energetic shift towards their own infinite possibilities. But knowing that and keeping that in balance is just such a beautiful dance, isn't it?
It's the best dance there is. And with my kind of knees, I can't do the traditional dancing anymore. So
you're dancing with delight all day, every day, though. I can tell from here, Brian, that you are.
Yeah, it's hard to describe what it's like to be in that place. You know, I couldn't describe it. When I thought about what it would look like when I got here, this is not what I imagined. But you can't imagine what clarity looks like when you're still looking at the world through dirty lenses. But I can tell you it's absolutely worth the work.
It is worth the work, and it's the greatest work we ever do, and it is our calling to make that shift towards self-enlightenment, self-awareness, potential, possibility, so that we can serve on a higher level. We don't even understand where this work is going, but we are called to do it. And so anyone who is sparked by this, any and all who are sparked by this, please tell us again, Brian, how they can get that wonderful free gift that you're giving today, and how people can reach out if they want to contact you, if you want to give any contact information as well.
My pleasure. My primary website, brianraymondking.com, is the best way to reach me. You can find my contact form there. You can find me on Twitter or Facebook. I'm very easy to find, Brian R. King. And to get the free gift today, which is Everyday Mindfulness, Strategies for a Focused and Fulfilling Life, it's a 90-minute workshop I recently audio recorded. And you can get that at my website. It's brianraymondking.com/everyday.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And what last little bit of advice would you, or wisdom would you like to share with our listeners, with me today, Brian, as we begin to wrap this up, as Brian and I, we're being the students in about 15 minutes, so we've got to get ready for our class together. What do you think is the possibility of where we're going? Are you excited, enthusiastic, optimistic? What are a few words to share?
I see that the purveyors of the status quo are panicking because there's this big shift underway of people who are sick and tired of the game, sick and tired of the corruption, and just want a life of purpose again. And I think the people, this movement that's swelling of people that just want to get back to being human, who are sick of the pomp and circumstance and the false fronts. And I'm excited to be a part of that shift. And I think there's going to be a return to community of people wanting to spend time together and wanting to lift each other up instead of trying to compete and one-up each other all the time. That's kind of where I see things being headed, and I'm happy to promote that.
Oh, I love it. And I'm holding that vision as well, Brian. I want to thank you very much for your time today, Brian. And I know that soon we will be on our next call together, and however I can serve in the future, let me know. And as all of us are continuing to hold a higher vision for ourselves, we're also holding a higher vision of others. And let's just take this moment in time to allow something greater to begin to emerge, to continue to emerge through the work that each of us are doing, our daily peaceful practice moving forward. May all be well, and so that is. Thank you for your time today. I am Lisa Giroux. Today is the Cosmic Radio Show, where we're sharing pathways to peace, purpose, and prosperity. Namaste.
Are you looking for a better life, a life with less stress, good health, and success? Then let me introduce you to Lisa Giroux. Lisa is a wellness coach who works with individuals like you who are seeking a different path to transform their life. Lisa will use simple strategies so that you can access your personal success. She is a master teacher with over 2 decades of experience and will share with you ancient wisdom that you can use in your modern life. Reiki, relaxation, meditation, and nourishment of your body, mind, and your soul. To begin your new path, visit lisagiroux.com. G-I-R-O-U-X. lisagiroux.com. Feel better, live better. lisagiroux.com.